Let me introduce you a little bit to the Tzadok of Meister Sheni, Mr. Emanuel. The concept of Meister Sheni, of course, is that after we have Meister Rishon, which is the first tenth which goes to the Levi, the next tenth goes to Yerushalayim. In other words, you, the owner of the crop, take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there, or alternately, which is the topic of conversation tonight, you redeem it on money, and you take the money up to Yerushalayim, and you buy fruit with the money, or preferably, actually I should say, shlomim, preferably karbonos in Yerushalayim. If not the shlomim, then fruit or drink of any sort, which grows from the ground, or which has connection to the ground, to exclude, of course, mushrooms and truffles, which are not considered to be growing from the ground, and you eat it in Yerushalayim. That's what Meister Sheni is. Now the question is, what kind of substance can you use, what coinage can you use in order to redeem Meister Sheni? Because in the old days they had several types of coins. They had gold coins, silver coins, and copper coins. Can they all be used? And then in turn, if you redeemed on silver, which is optimal, can you then subsequently redeem that silver on gold or on other silver or on copper and so on and so forth? Okay, that's the topic which we're dealing with. So there was a machlokas b'shamim and b'sil in the Mishnah.
You take the produce that you would otherwise taken up,
yeah,
and you sell it, or you buy it?
You redeem it. Neither sell nor buy. You redeem it.
You redeem it.
Yeah, it's a redemption process called chilul or pidyon, as opposed to mechira. It's not a sale. It's a redemption.
So when you redeem it, then you can eat it as normal produce.
Right.
And the money that you deposit with yourself,
yes, that's right, exactly. The money you deposit yourself, you convey to Yerushalayim. So there was a machlokas b'shamim and beis hillel back in the Mishnah on page Yud Aleph and Beis. If you take a look at Yud Aleph and Beis, in the last four lines in the Mishnah, you'll see. Beis Shammai Omrim Lo Yaseh Adam. Do you see that, Beis Shammai Omrim? Yeah, Beis Shammai Omrim Lo Yaseh Adam. A person should not make eslav of dinar yisrael. He shouldn't convert silver money. He redeemed his Meister Sheni and silver money. Now he wants to upgrade it to dinar yisrael, to gold money. Now that's obviously easier for him to transport because many silver coins fit into a gold coin, right? Beisil Matir Beisil permits this procedure. Rabbi Akiva says, "Ani yosisa gamli Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua's kaspi dinar yisrael. I converted from gamli Rabbi Yeshua their silver coins into gold coins." Now Beisil said, "Now the essential issue here is that you can only redeem money into money, which is better currency, and not money, which is not as good currency. Meaning, if gold is superior currency to silver, then you can, after you redeem the fruit on the silver, you can redeem the silver on the gold. But if gold is inferior currency to silver, then after you redeem the money, the fruit on silver, you may not redeem the money on gold." Is that clear? That's the machlokas?
Spendability.
What's a more universal coin? Okay? Is a better word than spendable? Negotiable. What's a more negotiable coin? Okay? Now, we are on Daf Yud Beis on a base. Rabbi Yechon, four lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yechon, Lomru Bishami Ela Besof. Beishami, you said you may not use gold, you may not convert your silver into gold. That means at the end of the process, when not literally the end, but when you already made your redemption of the fruit on silver, you may not then turn around and redeem the silver on gold. However, Avo Bitchila of Beishami Moda, but at beginning, meaning before you redeem that silver, the initial redemption may be done on gold. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan holds the initial redemption may be done on gold, according to Beis Shammai. It's just subsequently, if you had redeemed the initial redemption of the fruit on silver, then you may not go to gold afterwards. But the initial redemption may be on gold. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion in Beis Shammai. Okay, so far so good. Now get stuff. Now, the girsa here, the way to read the Gemara, is all messed up. That's what happens to Yerushalmi. General principle: Yerushalmis have oftentimes very great difficulties with how to read them. So, Now, I will tell you that we will skip from here. We're going to follow the way the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, does the Girsa here. And the next line which he has here is Ma Taima the Beis Shammai, not this one though, but Ma Taima the Beis Shammai on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, three lines from the top. Okay? See that? Ma Taima the Beis Shammai, what is the rationale of Beis Shammai? According to Rabbi Yochanan, so we say Kesef Rishon v'lo Kesef Sheni. We say the first silver and not the second silver. So we're talking about the pasuk in the pasuk of the Torah. It says v'nasata b'kesef. It says you should use the money, or you should actually put the value of the fruit into money. Okay? So that means the initial redemption may be done on silver and not a subsequent redemption. Kesef Rishon, lo Kesef Sheni. The first redemption may be done on money, not the second redemption. Okay? So it's very interesting. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the way the Gemara is learning, the way Rabbi Yochanan is learning, it sounds like even were a goal to be more negotiable, it still would not be permissible. Why is that? Because it says kesef rishon. It says kesef. No, it's not the bakesef. And we dash in that, we understand that, to understand bakesef means one time. Rishon, you get one redemption on money for low kesef sheni. No second redemption on money. Okay? So that means you can redeem the fruit on silver. You can redeem the fruit on gold. But what can't you do? You can't redeem money on money. Okay? One bakesef. Bakesef rishon, once, below sheni, not a second time. So Gemara asks, how can you say this? Vatina, didn't we learn? In the next Mishnah we'll learn this. Haporet selamimos maitzer sheni. You redeemed redeemed maitzer sheni on copper. And you take all those copper prutos. Porate means a pruta, right? You take all those copper prutos and you want to now make them into silver. There are 192 prutos in a dinner, if I recall correctly. So you take all 192, either in dinner or cell, I forget which one. So you take them and take all those 192 prutos that you gather over time, and now you want to make them into silver coins, which is obviously much easier again. So the Mishnah permits you to do that. How could this be? Kesef Rishon lo Kesef Sheni. You're only allowed to get one redemption on money, not a second redemption, right? So again, let's see inside. But here we learn. We thought to understand. Kini Masni. So this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Hamitzarev selmi mos maitzer sheni. It says you join together a sella, meaning a silver coin, from the most from the copper coin of Meister Shani. So even though the coin of the realm seems to be not an issue here, right? It really doesn't matter which is more negotiable, which is not. According to Beis Shammai, it should only be one time and not another time. Well, you see, you can upgrade the silver. Now, I understand if the logic would be based on negotiability, so silver is more negotiable than copper. That's for sure. Because copper coins are less valuable, and therefore they're not as negotiable. Gold might be overly valuable, but silver is certainly more valuable than copper, right? So therefore, I can understand you can upgrade to silver. That makes sense. But if you're going to say you only get one redemption on money, that's it. There's no additional redemption. So how can you go from copper to silver? So the more it responds, it says very interesting logic, very good logic, of course. Mike Kadum, what's going on here? Diamond the Bishamai Kesef. Logic Bishamai, this is Kesef. It says Minasata ba Kesef, redeem with silver, ad kidei Kesef, until you reach silver. Meaning once you hit silver, you can't go any further. So you can redeem that first time on copper. And then you can go up to silver. You can't go past silver. Is that clear? Stratum, yes. Silver is the stratum at which the redemption process stops. Okay? So if you redeem, you... No, you can't. But you can't redeem, you can't go back down to silver. Up to silver. Ad kesef. But not up to, not a substitute.
If you went to copper, you could only go to silver. The first time would have to be gold.
The first time, if you, the first time you did copper, you can go up to silver. But you can't pass silver, right? So the first time you did gold, which is okay, you can't go back down to silver. That's the means. Venezata ba kesef, ad kesef. Okay? That's it, you're stuck. Start off with gold, you're stuck. You start off with silver, you're stuck. Start off with copper, you can go up to silver. Okay? That's all Rabbi Yochanan. Now let's go back to Reish Lakish, to Rabbi Shimon Lakish. And let's go back for that to the Yud Beis Amud Beis. Oh no, not there yet. Let's go back to Yud Gimel Lav just before we started before. Okay, it's the second line of Yud Gimel Lav. Where Shim Ben Lucky Shomer, Shim Ben Lucky says, you see this over here, sorry. Where Shim Ben Lucky Shomer, Amar Ben Mitchil Ben Besof, Beishamai Pligan. Beishamai, you both begin at the end, meaning. But at the beginning, Beishamai, you may not even make the initial redemption on gold. Gold is not a currency at which you can redeem, period. At all. No way. Now, the Gemara says, now we go back to Yud Beis, Amud Beis. My time of the Beis Shammai. What? Yeah, my time of the Beis Shammai. You have the place, Mr. No, we read that one. We're going back to this one here. Yeah. My time. My time of the Beis Shammai. What's the large Beis Shammai? Kesef. They're literalists. So it's silver. Below's off, not gold. Now ask more. How can you say this? Vayim a kesef lo nechoshes. In that case, let's say silver, not copper. But we learn in the next Mishnah. Hapore tell me most mitzvah. And if somebody puts together a whole bunch of prutos of redemption money mitzvah sheni, the sovereign maimer wanted to say that we're talking about kini masis. This is the way to read the Mishnah. I'm a tired selling most mitzvah sheni. You join together by exchanging a seller, a silver coin, for a copper coin to my chase. So you see, the initial redemption can be on copper. My kadun, how we understand this, time to be shamai, so very interesting logic. Reish Lakish says, time to be shamai, he can kesef he nechoshes. According to Reish Lakish, Beishamai feels that silver and silver and copper are equally negotiable. Gold is significantly less negotiable. Silver and copper are equally negotiable. And therefore, whenever it says kesef in the Torah, it also implies copper. Just like nowadays, when it says money, can mean many things. So to silver in the old days can mean many things. One of the things silver can mean is also copper. So yeah, that's why he says copper and silver are both good currencies. The other, the gold, is not. Okay? Thought it was Night at the Opera.
No.
Okay, fine.
It's only on Tuesday. It's not on Tuesday.
All right, yes? Yeah, but the thing is, Beishamai in the next mission doesn't disagree. They should have said something in the next Mishnah they do disagree, because they do appear in the next Mishnah. Let's see the next Mishnah. Yeah, at this point, they don't disagree. Let's go on. I love it out. Mr. Suver, you're Gimel on the base. You're Gimel on the base. Okay, next page. Haporet Sela. Haporet Sela Mimos Meister Shani. You have a somebody who has a... he's made a lot of the copper coins as a mitzvah shemai. This is what we just read. Now Beishamai says, when you do upgrade, as a matter of fact, there's more than that. It's supposed to be Beishamai holds you're allowed to upgrade to silver. He says that right. Shamrim, because selamos. Which one is this? This is upgrading or downgrading? I think it's upgrading. Uh, Yeah. What it means is like this. I put it to the most I should. You have, I think, again, I think it's 192. I don't know. I have that number in mind. I'm not sure if that's correct. But let's use metric system, just to, even though it's not true. Let's just use it simplified. Let's assume that there are 100 prutos in the cellar, okay? Just to, for our own simplicity's sake. So you have 100 prutos, right? 100 copper pennies. And you want to make them to the cellar, a silver dollar. I pour in most of my cell, most of my shiny, the charmery mechol cell most. Take a whole silver dollar with you. In other words, change the entire 100 pennies into a silver dollar. It's so mean, b'shekel kesef, b'shekel most. No. Make it 50 cents. Right, a 50 cent piece. And keep the other 50 cents pennies. Don't put your entire, don't exchange all the copper pennies for a silver dollar. Make it a silver half dollar and 50 pennies. Now, why does Basil argue? So there are two possible reasons which are given. One is that Basil is more makel, and the other is Basil is more machmir. The one which says that Basil says that you the one which holds that Basil is more lenient is of the opinion that really it would be better to put in silver. Why? Because copper rusts or tarnishes quicker than silver. Let's take that face value. Sounds good? So, no? So, copper paints, the days when pennies are really copper, they actually tarnish them, isn't it? Yeah. I guess not as quickly. All right, I don't know. Yeah, it tarnishes quite quickly. That's true, but it's not rubbed very in the same way. I don't know, but that's what he's saying here, that they go bad quicker. So he says it's really based on coins. So Bisham wants to get rid of the prutos, the copper coins, as soon as possible. Get rid of them because they're bad. They're going to go bad. Basil says you're allowed to keep 50 cents in a half in copper. Yeah.
If you're adding to your redemption money because crops are coming in, you want to make change, and then that allows you to get a precise amount, not be limited to.
Well, the other reason given is in fact similar to yours, in which case Basil is really a machmir. What Basil is saying then, according to the other pshat, which is the Rash's pshat, one of the Rishonim, he says that Beis Hillel holds you must keep half of your assets, in this case, in copper. Why? Because otherwise, when you get to Yerushalayim, there'd be a rush by the money lead changers to go back down to copper. Because Yerushalayim, you have to go back down to copper anyway. It's very interesting. In Yerushalayim, things are much more flexible. Because Yerushalayim, you got to spend the money. And most storekeepers are not going to take silver coins because they have to give too much change. So where did you exchange your silver to copper? The money lenders, or the currency exchanges. So therefore, if everybody would go at once, there's a certain fee assessed for that exchange, right? So everybody would go at once so that copper coins would be much more expensive. Be a demand on them, a rush. So therefore, you'd get actually less copper coins based on the fee imposed for your silver, right? Am I making myself clear? So that's why they said always keep half of it fluid so there won't be such a tremendous rush on the money changers.
Just good advice.
Yeah, but he holds it's not just good advice, that you must. Yeah, it's good advice, and you better follow it or else. That's what it is, exactly. Okay? Now, similarly, in before we get there, Ramer, Emechalim, Kesef, Uperos, Al Kesef, another machlokus. Mayor says, if you have 50 cents copper coins, and you have 50 cents worth of fruit, So you cannot be mechalel, redeem both of them now jointly on a silver dollar. You cannot make a combination of fruit and coins. It's either all fruit or all coins. Rabbi Yehuda, Chachoim Atir, Chachoim permits such practice. Now, when you get to Yerushalayim, of course, they're going to change the silver back to copper. You immediately change the entire silver dollar into copper coinage. Now, according to Beis Shammai, you can't do it in several exchanges. Why? Because Beis Shammai says there's a fee imposed each time you make an exchange. So if, let's say, the first time you went from a silver dollar to a silver half dollar and 50 cents, so then when you would have to go to exchange a silver dollar again to cents, so then you'd have to pay a fee a second time. So to limit the amount of fees and paid, Beis Shammai says everything in one shot. No half measures.
But they're allowing you to take some of these fees out of the principal, out of the amount.
Yeah.
They just want to limit it.
Right. Okay? Right. Or like when you go to the ATM machines, which charge fees, take it as much as you can at one shot. Right. Okay? These are all part of the same general halachic principle. Now, Vesil Omrim, Beshekel Kesem Shekel Mos. Vesil says that you can be lenient and you can exchange half at a time. Okay? Half at a time means we're not worried about the extra free. Now, the other interpretation here too, there's another interpretation, that Beis Hillel is more machmir. And Beis Hillel says you can only exchange half, as much money as you need at the moment, which is, let's say in our case, half. Why is that? Because we're afraid that copper coins, Beis Hillel could, they say, the Rosh says here, copper coins are going to go down in value. In the old days, silver was more or less fixed, and gold and copper fluctuated. Okay?
This would make any sense if everybody's rushing to get copper. You think the price of copper go up rather than down?
Yes, you would think that. But I guess that there are other market forces at work which make copper volatile. I'm going to have to say. You're right. The ratio, no, but he's right that the ratio, the beginning of the Mishnah implies that the price of prutos will go up, right? And the Seva is implying that the price will go down. So that's contradictory. It seems like a paradox, right? Yeah. No, right, well, most people are schlepping silver. As many people as could would take silver. Right. Okay, you're right. It would have to be an independent market force. According to this pshat, it would have to be an independent market force that drove the price of copper down. That's correct. Okay. Be'adoiv le'chachomim, those who would can make the case before the rabbis, Omrin, they would say, Bishlosha dinari kesev dinamos. Now we're going to have different proportions. They said 3/4 of a measure remain and still retain in silver, and 1/4 of a measure you can exchange to copper. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Bishlosha dinari kesev. In the three measures silver, ubarvius. So I forgot. I don't know what that means. What's that mean? And in the fourth, and in 1/4. So it's 1/4 of the 4th dinar, meaning a measure of 1/16. It's 1/16 of your total principal convert into prutos at a time into copper coin, no more than that. So key 3 keep in silver, And a fourth of the fourth measure, you convert into copper. Rabbi Tarfon says that you divide the fourth measure into five. And you take 1/5 of a measure in copper. So actually only 1/20 of your total sum at any given time should be in copper. The rest should be in silver. Shammai. Till now we're learning Beis Shammai. Now we learn Shammai himself. What did Shammai himself say? You know what? Don't. He was so afraid of the fees that he said, don't exchange the silver. Leave the silver in the store, wherever you're buying your goods from, and eat corresponding to that silver as you go. Okay? And at the end, the storekeeper will give you change. In other words, if you go to the storekeeper and just make a small purchase, so it's not going to give you change, for that you need the money changer. But if you're going to open up an account with the storekeeper, even though of course you're losing as a result because he ain't paying you interest and your money is by him tied up, nonetheless, for the purpose of Maaser Sheni, you should do that. And at the end of the process, the storekeeper will give you whatever remains on your credit. Not necessarily, because everybody would bring their food up to Yerushalayim because it was a great market. Yeah, local farmers. There obviously was a.
I'm just trying to surmise, what is Shammai getting? Is he getting at that? He doesn't mind just regular market forces dealing with whatever the price of the goods are, and rides it up out of that. What he's upset about is the separate fees. Or is it that maybe. The market isn't so high.
You would have to prove the latter. The former seems far more in spirit with the rest of the mission. Mishnah Yemitzas Banav Tohar, following along these lines of Shammai's concept, very interesting Gemara. We have Mishnah. Mishnah Yemitzas Banav Tomei, Mitzas Banav Tohar. He's got Yaakov has four sons, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Reuven and Shimon are Tor. Levi and Yehuda are Tomei. Tomei people are not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. So what does he do? He leaves the coin in the store. Barman says, Masha Torim shows him that which the pure children, Reuven and Shimon, drink. Shelazum chulel salav. Let this coin be redeemed, in other words, that it continuously be spent on whatever they're drinking. So may come to be, in fact, that both the Tomei and Torah people can drink from the same vessel. Because as you're drinking, you being Reuben and Shimon, and he's drinking, him being Levi and Yehuda, what you're drinking becomes the Maaser Sheni. Then remains Torah, and when he's drinking, that they are drinking, does not become Maaser Sheni. And although it is Tomei, that doesn't bother us, because although you're not allowed to have your Maaser Sheni become Tomei, you're allowed to have your regular foodstuff become Tomei. It's not a problem. Okay?
Purchased with the money.
Excuse me?
When we're talking about money that was purchased, food that was purchased,
absolutely. But when is the purchase taking place? That's what we're going to discuss. The purchase is taking place contemporaneously with your drinking it, with your consuming it. Each one. Oh, we'll see in a quarter. The Gemara is going to explain. Okay? Rav Shimon Loki Shemer, Omar. Rav Shimon Loki said, Mapli Ramei Rabbanin. When what Ramei and Rabban argue when they said that in our Mishnah, that you cannot redeem, you may not redeem, half fruit and half copper coins on a silver coin together. That was right. Mayor and Rabbanan permit this practice. What's your machlokas? Only shemek de kesef. Only when there is not enough money, not enough fruit to make up a silver dollar on its own. Aval beperish yeshbeng de kesef. There's enough fruit to make up the redemption of a silver dollar, whatever silver coin, on its own. Af Rabbanan moedi. Rabbanan also do not allow you to bring the fruits and the coin together in the redemption process. How so? Chati dinar kesef, chati dinar peros. If you have a quarter, using our modern coinage, right? Assuming silver begins at $0.50. If you have a quarter a worth of fruit and a quarter worth of copper coins, then mutter. You're allowed to redeem them both together on the 50-cent piece, which is silver already. Dinar kesef, a dinar mos, if you have 50 cents worth of money, of copper coins, and 50 cents worth of fruit. So, Osir, you're not allowed to redeem both on a silver dollar. Redeem the fruit independently on a silver half dollar. According to Rabbi Meir. Korachim is still allowed to do it. According to Rabbi Meir, we say that at that point, you have enough to redeem on the silver half dollar. The fruit by itself, do not mix and match the fruit and coin together. Okay? Says more further, so too. Dinar kesef, koshkein, shnei dinar kesef, shnei dinar peros shalosu. It goes without saying, if you have two times 50 cents, which is a silver dollar, a sella of kesef, which shnei dinar peros is two times 50 cents, silver dollar of fruit, shalosu, that in that case you may not redeem on the larger sum. Even according to Rabbanan, you on a larger coin, both together, you have to redeem each one independently. Okay? Now, a little bit of historical information here. Who are the Donim? We enter a mission. The Donim, the Hechachamim, those who would discuss cases before the rabbis. They're Menazai ben Zoma. Elena Tamini, who are the people who call Tamini? Hanani ben Chachinoi, Rabbi Lozer ben Masio. Eda Kedosha, who's the holy congregation? They're Rabbi Yosef ben Shulam and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh. So wherever you find these descriptions in Shas, you know that they're referring to these people. My time of the Shammai. What's the logic of Shammai, who says you should leave it in the store? You know what? I gave the wrong reason in our Mishnah. Maybe this is the reason you were giving before. I don't think so, though. It's the third reason. My time of Shammai, what's the logic of Shammai? It says leave the silver dollar in the store. And each time you take off, you know, off your account, so Shema Yishkach V'yasas Ocholi, because you have too much money lying around you personally, especially if there's many copper coins, then you might mistake them in for chulin. So therefore, instead of doing that, at the moment you get your shlime, put your money in the account, and therefore you won't expend it improperly. Okay? Now, we said that you're allowed to have two sets of children, Reuven and Shimon on the one hand, who are tahar, and Levi and Yehuda are tamei, drinking out of the same container together. Manakeh, what are you talking about, Mishnah? In boimer mikvar mashke mura, and you're going to say that the beverage is ma'aser shein before they start drinking. Then it's mixed beverage, and then therefore, of course, the children who are tamei should not be able to drink because they're going to defile the ma'aser sheni. If you're going to say that only after they drink it should become ma'aser sheni, so at the time they drank, they were drinking chulin. They consume non-ma'aser sheni. It's too late later on. Hello, Ken. Okay, I'm going to tell you about Boimer when the father said, Mikvar l'chsheyishte. It should occur just before they drink. Okay? Now, this sounds like a brero to me. But brero works in what case does retroactive determination work? It works by, you're right, yeah, it's the whole thing by trumosomiasis, the bottle which might break. Yeah, but it's only a problem by the Doraitas. It's okay. Prayer is okay by the Rabbanot. And the Maitre Shein Bizman Azeh is the Rabbanot. So say the Maitre Shein Bizman Azeh. Meaning, at the time of the second Beit Hamikdash period, was the raid Rabbanot because Eretz Yisrael was not fully conquered and it was not divided into the tribes properly. So therefore, all my shame is the Rabbanon. Okay. Bitmein tmei met. No, all prayers are second base. Holy Bavel. Right. For Kedusha. But not halachically. It means that they don't need a subsequent. I guess I'm wrong on one thing I said, which is that you don't need all of Israel to be conquered. What you need is that all of the Jews should be in Israel. Bias kulchem. Okay, that's the condition. That means that the kedusha shniyah is an eternal kedusha, but only if all Jews. Or according to Rabbeinu Gershom, I forget where, we had it recently in Bechoros or somewhere, 600,000 Jews come and live in Eretz Yisrael. So it's not enough that the conquest is valid conquest, you also need the Jews living there. It's a good question, Rabbeinu Gershom.
Isn't there something about majority?
Yeah. There's a question of Rov Yishvei Aleha, Kol Yishvei Aleha, and whether Kol is defined as 600,000 or not. Okay. But according to there's another parameter for Shemitah and Yovel. The Shemitah and Yovel, you need Eretz Yisrael to be divided for Shvatim. Divided for Shvatim, the way we pass it. Since it was divided for Shvatim, it's Machlokas and Sech Shvitz. The way we pass it, since it was divided for Shvatim, it's the Rabbanan even then. Okay? Says more further, B'tmeim t'meim meis. We're talking about a case where the people who drink, the brothers who drink or tame, are t'meim t'meim meis. They came to God with a dead body. Because if a person's tummy to may mace touches a earthenware vessel on the outside, it does not become tummy. So therefore, Reuben and Shimon can be holding the vessel on one side drinking, Levin you the other side be drinking, and they're not going to make Levin you to our tummy, not going to make a tummy. Avo v'tmeim to maziva, but if Levin you to our tummy because they are zovin, they had emissions, then not in that case. Shazov mitame behesed. A zav is metame, it's only a kli cheres, a pottery vessel, even if it just moves it. Right? Moves the contents. Moves the contents. That's the contents of kamtame. So then it wouldn't work in that case. Lobada, it's a famous question of why the Greeks, who had a din of zavin, because they were non-Jews, had why they were not metame, the Bach Shemin and the Beis HaMikdash, the cruise of oil. For the mechanic of miracle. Right. So the many answers given. Either that the shaman was found in a locked cabinet, or that the shaman was the container was shaped in such a way that there is no tumas hesed, where the zav could not even stick in his hand if he tried, and so on and so forth, various different reasons. Okay? So in any event, the Kshein Echomara, and that's only if Kshein Achomara, if somebody else is not pouring. Amish Achomara, if someone else is pouring, I feel it's made to Maziva, then even if one of them is Tomei to Maziva, he's not going to be a Tomei, obviously. Why it's not going to be a Tomei? Because he's never coming to any physical contact with the container itself. Okay? So far, so good? Hajlach Maitre Shein Shenita. Next pair. They are drinking from the same thing. On the second case, they're not drinking from the same thing. Yeah. In the second scenario, they're not drinking, just one guy's pouring to all of them. But the first night, they're all drinking from the same one. And the father said, only comes Maizer Sheni when? When, at, right before they drink whatever they're going to drink. And also, as we said, it's talking about where none of them are Zovin. Because if they're Zovin, then they're touching it, makes it Zovin.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that. What's happening? You have four brothers drinking particular water. Does that make a difference?
All simultaneously. Each one plugged the spigot into the cask.
Okay. Oh. Okay, the same.
Yeah.
Because it's not. I don't know.
How? You don't seem very lost. On a scale of 1 to 10, you only seem like a 2 or a 3. So let's see if we can extricate you from these woods. Ask a question.
Are they brothers allowed to eat Maizer Sheni?
No. That's what we're saying. Only is becoming Maizer Sheni at the point it's entering their mouths.
The first two.
Yeah. And only what enters
even
the
mouth.
No. He put the money, like Bashamai said, he put the money in the store. And the money, as they're drinking, the credit, you know, it's like a meter. As they're drinking, the meter is ticking and the money.
He has to now take some money out of his pocket.
To pay for the other two brothers. Okay, for the other two brothers. Okay, loyal Maradam Mechaveru. A person should not say to his friend, "How is a parasail Yushlaim? Take this food of Yushlaim Lechalek and we'll divide it up there." Why is that? Because it looks like he's doing business with Maizer Sheni Foods and it's forbidden to do so. El Oimelo, what he can say is, "Halim, bring the Yushlaim, not that we'll divide them up, but Shenochlim and the Shenishim Yushlaim, that we'll even drink Yushlaim. Because that looks like I'm paying you wages for Maizer Sheni. It's forbidden." Okay? What I can say to you is, take up the food of slime, so eat and drink them. As long as I didn't use the word divide. The key problems use the word divide. Okay? What's the mission? He says, we're going to eat and drink them, but he says we're going to divide them. Rabbi Yehuda's son said a very interesting line, Yushamu Yadon Shvi's, Mehilcho Shal Imum, he said. This is one of the laws of unclarity. Imum means literally smoldering. Like smoldering coals. So here it means an unclear halacha, a vague halacha. Now, we had this in the Masechta Shvi'is, and we're going to have a repetition, so we had in Shvi'is. And it means that this is one of the halachas where chazal were unclear. I don't know, the right word might be murky. We're murky, and therefore it's mutter. In other words, there's no quality of difference between saying we'll divide Yerushalayim or even drink Yerushalayim. Chazal said the superficial difference is sufficient to distinguish between the two. Okay? Says the Gemara, Tama Tzmi. What do you mean? You see, the difference between them and us is that they still have the principle of Safek Rabbanu Lekula. We don't have it anymore. Got lost in the 19th century. Cynical remarks. Cynical remark and a cynical reply.
So you're not going to address that?
No, I'm not going to address it. Okay. Okay. Right, Talmud Tanina. That's the whole crockpot issue, which came out of Israel a few months ago, by Shlomo Zalman died. You know, about raising the crockpot, not raising the crockpot. It's all based on the assumption there's no principle of Savi Drabbanu Lekula anymore. Because where the such principle applicable, so obviously the whole thing is a question of the Rabbanu. That's one of the only issues of the Rabbanu. Okay, that was just an example of something. Talmud, learn it over there. Now, several other cases of Imu. murky waters, which are permissible waters. Omer lepoel, somebody says to his worker, hey lecha isar, here's a dollar. V'laki li yerek hayom, and collect for me vegetables today. Now these vegetables are growing during Shemitah, so nobody owns them, they're hefker. But one is not allowed to do business with Shemitah fruits, right? So he says, I'll pay you for, I'll give you, do it for me and I'll pay you for them.
But he's paying for his time or for the...
For the labor. Okay? Tzchara mutter, then the wages are mutter. Lakately, bo, for the dollar. He adds the word bo. Yerek hayom, vegetables today, tzchara aser. Then it's forbidden. Similarly, lokach min anachtom ki kor bepunjon. I buy from a baker a loaf which is worth a dollar, and I say it should be lichshe elko. Really, when I collect yirokos asada, the vegetables of the field, avi lecha, I'll bring them to you. Mutter, that's okay. Unless he says, obviously, though the Gemara doesn't finish it here, unless he says, I'll collect for you the vegetables for it, for the bread, obviously, and that gets going to be also, because that makes it payment, and that's forbidden. So now I have to stay out right that it's payment. Lokach menu stam, if you purchase from him generically, in other words, you purchase the baker's bread, without saying going to go and collect vegetables, you can't pay with Shemitah money, now to pay a loan, meaning here purchase from Shemitah money. Be that all as it may, ma bin oimer, lakately bo, what's if it's used the word bo or not? So here too, Rabbi Yavim, Shem Rabbi Yisrachin, and Samuel Shalimu is one of these murky halachos. Tamatina, here we actually get to compare to a Bavli. Tamatina, it says over there, Shoyal Adam Mechaveh Rukadi Yayim Mechadi Shemin. A person could borrow from his friend on Shabbos jugs of wine and jugs of oil. Vach lo yomer lo aveni. As long as he doesn't say, give it to me as a loan. He could say, hashileni. The English, both things translated as a loan. But he was in Shailo, which is a borrowing, and Hava, which is a loaning. I know in English they mean the same, but... What? Yeah, but in English you can't translate them differently. What? So the Bavli says there's a big difference. It's like safekeeping. See how hard it is to explain it? The truth is, ultimately, in both cases, you're going to drink the wine and give it back all the wine. It's like, you know, can I borrow your pen? So really, I'm taking away the ink from you, right? Well, it's a bad example. It's a lousy example. Yeah. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if I agree with you about that. No. The truth is, there's no qualitative difference between the two. Because in both cases, it's all a difference in nomenclature. In both cases, the guy's going to drink the wine and give back all the wine. He does. Both cases, he does. He does. And that's what the Yerushalmi is about that. So what's the difference? But Ashileni means give it to me not as a commercial transaction, but as a safekeeping. Whereas Halveni means give it to me as a loan, which is a commercial statement. Okay, I guess... makes no difference. But it's not really safekeeping. It's not, because you're going to get, you're losing, that wine is going to be drunk and it's going to get back different wine. Yes. So the Bavli says, what's the difference between the two? So he says, the Bavli says, when I use the language of a she'ela, I'm not, there's not going to be concern that you might come to write it down. We use the language of Alvar, so you might come to write it down. So then the Bavli asks, I just looked it up a few minutes ago, the Bavli asks, come on, is that a real difference? So the Bavli says, yes, there is a real difference, because since he knows not to use the language of Alvar, which is loan, rather language of Shayla, which is quote-unquote borrowing, so he realizes that jogs his memory that he shouldn't write it down. But you're right, there is no qualitative difference, even the Bavli concedes that, but the fact that we limited the language you can use is what reminds him not to write it down. Rushami doesn't go that far. Rushami just says, Ma bin oimer alveini, Ma bin oimer shilein, what's the difference to say, loan me or let me borrow? Rabbi Zira B'Shem Rabbi Yerson says, Me'alokho shel imumi. It's one of these murky areas which Chazal allowed. Okay? So, Rushami being much less Lumdish than the Bavli, doesn't try and give a precise reason, just says that's what it is. Okay? Piton, so to their bread of a goy. Rabbi Yaakov Barach B'Shem Yenison said, Odhimi Alok Shalimun, that's also one of these murky areas. Rabbi Yossi, the question is what exactly meant by that. Rabbi Yossi said, Kashisi Kami Rabbi Yaakov Barach. I asked Rabbi Yaakov Barach, Maomi Alok Shalimui, in what respect is bread one of those aloks, where if you don't have the place, on the 3, 6, 9, 10th line down in the wide lines. The last word in the line. Kach. Kach. Kach ani yoimer. Is this what you mean to say? Do I say like this? The Malkum Shepati from Mitzuya, where there's prevalent Jewish bread, Bedinu Shetei Paskoi Masura. Really not Jewish bread, even bakery bread, which is called in the lingo Paspalter, very good. Yes. Even bakery bread should be also, right? Bedinu Shetei Paskoi Masura, even bakery bread, Vimu Imolea, and they made it murky. BT ruined their matirit, they permitted. Oh, it doesn't mean Mamoku Shane Pazis from Mitsuya in the place where there is not Jewish bread prevalent. Bedinu Shetei Paskoi Muteres. The non-Jewish bread should be permitted. And they were murky about it, but Srua. They made it forbidden. Which one is it? Amr Amunah said, what? The Yesh Imun Leisur. Is murkiness a reason to forbid? Murkiness is a reason to permit. Again, by the Rabbanans, right? Where did you find murkiness is a reason to be to forbid? Says Amr, I tell you. There is a reason. Upas, or there is a precedent, I should say. Upas lokatav shili goyimi, is bread not like bishulak, like the things a goy cooks. Kachani yoimer, this is what I would say. Uma b'mokum sheitav shili yisroel mitzuyin, where Jewish food is not prevalent, Jewish cooked food. Bidinu shediei gotav shili goyim mutorim, really, we should allow non-Jewish cooked food. But we don't. It's forbidden. The truth is that halacha l'maaseh bishulakim is not mutter. If bishulakim is not mutter just because it's hard to find Jewish cooked stuff. We need other heterim for bishulakim. There is no heter bishulakim of food being scarce, only by bread, because bread is such a staple that if it's scarce, we can rely on bakeries, but not by vegetables. So there it's a kind of imum which is forbidden. Though it's there, it should be murky and it should be permissible. It's awesome. El Kenu. So Taka, this would be the way to say it, according to this perspective. The Mokul Shein Pazis from Mutsuya, where Jewish bread is not prevalent, Bidinu Shetei Paskoye Masura.
Oh. Just a second. I'm not sure I translated the thing before, right? I'm not sure I translated the parallel to the Tav Shel Goyim correctly. I'm serving you notice. I'm not sure I translate correctly, but I'm not going to bother translating it differently because I'm not sure how else to translate it. But let's go further. Let's start from Elokeinu. Elokeinu, Mamokum Shem Pasisro Metsuyo. And this is the way, however, to read it. Place where non-Jewish bread where Jewish bread is not prevalent, B'dinu should take Pasko and Masura. Non-Jewish bread should be forbidden. It should be forbidden. Nonetheless, they made it murky and they permitted it because it's such a major staple and therefore it has to be permitted. And Rabban the Kisrim Shem Rabbi Yaakov Barako said, Kedivrei Mishu Matir. It's taka, we're allowed to use non-Jewish bread where Jewish bread is not prevalent. We'll provide me a pouch as long as it comes from a baker. But law of Dinan Kane, however, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael are machmir, and they not eat non-Jewish bread, even pas palter, even a place where Jewish bread is not prevalent. Okay? Sman is that almost all bread is pas Yisrael. Almost all bread is pas Yisrael. Because we Ashkenazim paskin that lighting the ovens is sufficient to make something pas Yisrael. Sfarim hold that the Jews actually have to stoke the fires. But we hold if you just throw a match in, right, kindling, that's sufficient. So So they do that at CRC and all other major kashrus organizations do that uniformly almost in any situation.
So you're saying
all the kosher bread. All kosher bread, yeah. Like natural ovens in Manitowoc, Breadsmith, or all the breads even made by non-Jewish firms are pas Yisrael. Okay? I get a kick out of that. Every time we walk into Breadsmith in Glenview, there's a sign on the door, all our breads are pas Yisrael. I wonder how many people up there in Glenview are concerned about. Yeah, they were supposed to be coming already for months. The sign is up now? Okay. Tani, lo yomer adam l'chaveir b'Yerushalayim. A person should not say to his friend, we learned in our Mishnah to we learned our Mishnah about bringing to Yerushalayim. A person should not say in Yerushalayim, how chavizeh shel yayim mimokol mokom, bring this barrel of wine from place to place, the chalakin will divide it up. Even in Yerushalayim proper, this is not permissible. Now, Rabbi Lazar said, turning the page now, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah, this is going like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Now, Rabbi Nechemiah are mentioned here. They mentioned Masechta Shvi'is. Rabbi Nechemiah are the ones who say there that even if you don't say, Rabbanan before said, in order to make it also, you have to say the word bo by Shemitah. In other words, if I say, collect me the vegetables, bo, for this money, it's awesome. If I don't use the word bo, I say, collect me the vegetables, and here's the dollar, that's okay. Rabbi Nechemiah doesn't draw such a distinction. Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Yehuda don't draw such a distinction. They say it's also regardless. Also regardless. And we want to say our Mishnah, and this price are like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah, because our Mishnah and Rabbi Nechemiah don't specify. There's no comparable word to bo in our Mishnah, yet it answers it nonetheless. So therefore, lichor our mission should be like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Says Mar, it's not necessarily so. Manakemi, what are we talking about? We're talking about a case where, for instance, going back to Shemitah, the baker says, now taking the case of the baker, hey lichor, here's bread, have li, give me money. Tivrei HaKol Asur. Everybody agrees it's forbidden. Give me the vegetables, sorry. Not money. Give me the vegetables of Shemitah. Tivrei HaKol Asur. That's, of course, barter. That's absolutely forbidden. Havli, if the buyer says, give me Vanoyo Evloch, and I'll give to you Tivrei HaKol Mutar. It's permissible. Because the what does the buyer say? Give me first the bread. Later on, I'll give you the vegetables. That's okay. Because it doesn't look like a barter. Because in barter, generally you, the buyer, give the purchasing agent before you get the thing you're buying. Elokinonakim, what do we tell you about over here? Bahuda Marle. The buyer says, Havli, give me. And I'm certain that I'll give to you. So you say with certainty, right? With certainty it's forbidden. Okay? Why is that? Right, well, that's a machlokas, I should say. Right? Why is that? Shane Rokas Hasadim Tsuyin. Vegetables are not readily available during Shemitah. And therefore, I, the buyer, I'm going to go to special lengths and the difficulty in order to acquire for you the vegetables with which to pay this off. And this tircha, this special effort is what makes it awesome. The special effort forbids it. I think it's in the general principle of schera, but let me check. Yeah, it makes it more, the way he explains it is that it makes it more like paying back a loan. Since I'm going to go to special lengths and distances in order to acquire the vegetables to pay you back, so it makes it more like a loan, and that's why it's forbidden. However, Rabbanan Matirin, Shiraka Sadam Sun, they say vegetables are very prevalent. And therefore, there's little effort on the part of the buyer involved. This is little effort involved. It doesn't look like redeeming a loan with Shemitah fruits. Now, bringing this all back to our sugya over here, what it tells us is that even Rabbanan forbid, even if you don't use the word bow, as long as it's clearly indicative that this is a barter type transaction, such as in the case where the baker says, here's the stuff, here's the bread, now go get me the vegetables. When the buyer makes such a condition, it's obvious that this is a purchase, then it's also, even if there's no actual use of the word bow for it, right? You didn't say, here's the bread for the vegetables. You said, here's the bread, get me the vegetables. If it's clearly indicated from the discourse that that's considered to be an exchange, quid pro quo, it's forbidden. The same thing applies here.
So this is Shemitah vegetables that were growing on their own. Now, can we go back and say the same is applicable to
Mitzvah, where commerce is forbidden as well? That if it's clearly indicated that's a commercial transaction, even in they use the actual word bow, right, or any tangible other word, any specific other word which clearly indicates the commercial nature, if it is readily apparent, such as let's divide, that's sufficient in order to make it awesome. Okay? Says the Gemara, Maushi Omer Lo, what, Mishahel Olson, sorry, once you brought up this life, Maushi Omer Lo, Tochelke Chavani Chelke. Now, after the fact, he brought the barrel up to Yerushalayim. Can he now say the forbidden language of take your part and I'll take my part? In other words, the work was already done. Can he now use that language? Or, what about if he says take this barrel of wine outside Yerushalayim, and we're going to eat the barrel of oil which I have there. Is that also awesome? Not so much because of the language, because it didn't say lachlok, but he's giving oil for wine. Is that considered to be like a commercial transaction?
Where they both become partners.
I don't know if they become partners, because not using the language of partnership. Maybe. I don't know. I'm skeptical. Afa Meister Behemakin, the Shaila is also by Meister Behema. Meister Behema, can I tell somebody, bring me up you to Shalim, Meister Behema, my animal, for Meister Behema, which has to be sacrificed by Shalim, and I'll give you half of it. In other words, when we sacrifice it as the korban, and I get back the meat, I'll give you half. Is that permissible or forbidden? Says Mara, wait, what's your question? Meister Sheini, Abbaideshi Michiroso, should be Muteris, says the Gra. Meister Sheini, you think you're allowed to buy and sell? At Oimer Mutter, then, therefore, it should be permissible. Meister Meadeshi, Emichiroso, Mucheta, Miu Muteris. Meister Meadeshi, whose sale is not permissible. Hare Atomar Osir? You can't say that. Meister Sheini is also ushered to buy and sell. What do you want to say? Meister Behema is mutter. Meister Sheini is mutter buy and sell. Meister Behema is ushered. They're both ushered. Both are ushered to do any commerce with. So therefore, the halacha should be exactly the same. Leis pshita lachti mutter. It's clear that it must be mutter. In other words, whatever is mutter by Meister Sheini is mutter by Meister Behema. There's no qualitative difference between the two. All right, says more. Fine. Maushim, what about the final case? Maushim, how baim of chayav zu? The grot takes out the word chayav, obviously, because chayav is a deer, and deer can't be brought as meiser baima, not to grot. Somebody else who should. So it means maushim, how baim, take this baim up to your shrine. Vonochlim baser shkuta sheyesh li shom. And he says, I won't give, but I'm not going to give you from this animal. I'm going to give you from shechted meat, which I have there, which is comparable to the case of Meister Sheini, where I say, take this one up and I'll give you oil there. Are those okay? I didn't use the word lachlo, but I give you something else instead of this which you're taking up. Is that a permissible statement or a forbidden statement? And the Gemara does not resolve it, and we'll stop here for the season. How far behind are we now?